I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life as we continue our study in the book of Romans. We're going to pick up where we left off the last time. Romans chapter 7, we're going to pick up with verse 4 there today. But let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. When you click on that website, you'll see at the heading there, Dr. Lewis Woodard Ministries. And that's who brings you this program, is Lewis Woodard Ministries. And it's a total faith ministry. And we just praise the Lord that we're able to bring this broadcast to you each time you tune in. And also the website where you can download this program, It's a Good Life. This one you're going to hear today, this program, as well as others. But let me invite you to write me today as well. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write me today, and it would be such an encouragement to me to let me know that you are listening. Now, I trust today that you'll have your Bible open as we study through the Word of God. Now, in Romans chapter 3 and verse, Romans chapter 7 and verse 3, in the first part of that, it says, "So then, if while her husband liveth." Now, we studied last week, it says, "A married woman is bound to her husband while he lives." In verse 2, it says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." And what the apostle is trying to show is that in marriage, each party is equally bound to the other, but that the death of either dissolves the arrangement. And Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." The husband is not to, if I use the term, lord it over his wife, and neither is the wife to lord it over her husband, but they are equally bound together, one to the other. Now, verse 3 says in Romans 7, "So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now, in other words, once again, as we study the Word, we know that Paul is likening this to our lives as Christians. And what he's trying to show us here, you cannot be true to Christ while trying to serve the law. You can't be married to one and be faithful to one if you are unfaithful, if you are looking to someone else to fulfill what you need or what you're looking for. Christ is all in all. He's all we need as saved people. And I would remind you once again that Paul is not speaking to an unsaved person here, but he's speaking to saved people. This is actually a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And he's letting these people know that they are free from the law. In other words, the law was a schoolmaster bringing us to the knowledge of Christ, bringing us to a knowledge of knowing that we couldn't save ourselves, that, you know, it brings us to a knowledge of sin. There's no way that we can save ourselves. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to show us in these verses and other verses that we've already read. You can't be true to Christ and try to serve the law or try to do good works to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with good works. That Paul's saying, don't do that to try to go to heaven, because it's not there. You can't do that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to serve one or the other. And Paul says you need to be serving Christ because he's the one who saved you. Now, in Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, we see that dying to the law gives purpose. There's a purpose for this. In verse 4 it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Purpose number one here that Paul is saying is to realize that the death of Christ makes us dead to the law. And in likeness of marriage, we are married to Christ. And then we see in chapter 7, verses 4, the remainder of that verse, in verse 5, it says that we should bring forth fruit unto God. "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Remember, when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Paul's already told us this. So, purpose number two is to bring fruit to glory to God instead of glorifying death in serving the law. You see, when we're trying to serve, when we're trying to work, that is pointing to the fact that it's glorifying death, because anything that a person does to go to heaven other than trusting Jesus is wrong. That's works. And it brings forth death, either by our testimony of trying to live the good life to go to heaven instead of living the life because we are going to heaven. It's a bad testimony to those people around us. And we need to be putting forth Jesus Christ as the Savior, the only way to heaven. And notice purpose number three here is in verse 6 of chapter 7 of Romans. He says, and Paul says this, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." The purpose number three here is to serve because we are set free from bondage. In other words, the law, the letter. The law says, "Thou shalt." We are new creatures in Christ, serving not because we have to serve by the letter, but because we are dead to the law and walk, in other words, live in newness of spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then in Galatians 2:21 it says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Once again, Christ did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And we cannot be saved by keeping the law. Law was given to us to bring us to a knowledge of sin, to a knowledge of knowing we could not save ourselves. In Romans 7, verse 7 through 23, the Bible teaches us this, that the law has limitations, and we've been talking about this. But notice verse 7 here. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." And what Paul's saying here is the law is not sin, but rather it identifies or makes sin known. It brings us to a knowledge of sin. Verse 8 goes on to say, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me of all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead." Without the law, I didn't even know what sin was, Paul's saying here. And without the law, we do not know what sin is and what it was in our lives. He goes on in verse 8, and he talks there, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought me in all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead." Sin was dead, but in attempting to keep the law, aiming at external conformity, the claims of law in Paul's heart was unfelt. And notice in verse 9, he says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Romans 3:23 once again says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then we've seen in verse 23 of Romans chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death." Paul says sin revived. And in other words, the power of sin, which was before dormant, became alive and active. And then the commandment came, the realization of what law was saying about sin, and what the result of sin was and or is. So as we look at that, it means that he was then free from those agitations and alarms which he afterwards experienced when he was brought under conviction for sin. We are convicted of sin. Someone says, I'll let my conscience be my guide. Well, the conscience can only go so far because it's sinful. The conscience is sinful. It's the Word of God that brings us to a knowledge. It's the law of God that brings us to the knowledge of sin and lets us know when we're wrong. And Paul goes on to say, at that time, though he had the law and was attempting to obey it, yet he was unacquainted with its spiritual and holy nature. He didn't understand it. And he aimed at external conformity, trying to do this and trying to do that. And the law's claims on the heart were unfelt. This is the condition of every self-confident sinner and of everyone who is unawakened. A person does not know Christ truly. They can know about him. They do not know Christ truly if they have never trusted him as their Savior. They don't understand. But the Bible says that once we get saved, we can understand who what he's truly done for us, and we understand then what sin has done to us. Sin brings forth death. Well, notice verses 10 and 11. It says, in the commandment, which is ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law that Paul, as a Jew, thought would lead to life actually led him to know he was dead in trespasses and sin. Sin is taking advantage of the law and led Paul to believe he could live by the law. But he eventually realized he was actually dead because of sin from the information contained in the law. The law brought him to a saving knowledge of Christ, and then the law showed him that there was no way to be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was saved, but then he did not have to let sin, which was working, trying to save himself. And nobody is saved apart from Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Because of what Paul learned from the law, verses 10 and 11, he realized everything about the law was holy, just, and good. Next time we'll pick up with Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. And let me invite you once again to look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. You'll be able to go on there and find some Bible study helps. And if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, there's a place there you can look, and it'll lead you through the plan of salvation, how you can know for certain that you can go to heaven. And may I say that going to heaven means to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it's been good being with you once again today. And let me remind you to listen once again when you'll hear me say, it is a good life. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.